Galatians chapter 6. Let's read three verses this morning. You want to pick which three? Let's read 7, 9, and 12. How about that? No. Let's read 1, 2, and 3. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Some phrases that you'll be familiar with, like dog eat dog. You ever heard that one? You've heard that one. Dog eat dog. Only the strong survive. Survival of the fittest. Keep up or get left behind. Okay, we've heard those. And you might hear them in the... You might hear those phrases. You might encounter those attitudes in the workplace. Maybe in the schoolhouse. This is what life is. Sometimes how the attitude that people have out in the world. Okay, we might hear these things or encounter these attitudes out in the world, workplace, schoolhouse, wherever, out there. However, among the brethren in God's house and among Christians, these attitudes have no place. This attitude, this mindset of keep up or get left behind, that has no place among the brethren. That has no place in the church. And that's what these verses tell us this morning. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That doesn't sound like dog eat dog, does it? That doesn't sound like only the strong survive. That sounds like the strong help the weak whenever the weak are in need help, are in need of that help. I'm glad it's not only the strong survive, because we'd all be obliterated. I'm glad that the Bible does not say, as some people think that it says, some people think they're quoting Scripture when they say this, and this isn't in the Bible. But some people say, you know, God helps those that help themselves, and that's not in Scripture. Now, the Bible does, when it comes to work, the Bible does teach us that if a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. We're supposed to work. But when people say, well, the Lord helps those that help themselves, the truth of the matter is, here's what the gospel is. Jesus Christ helps those that cannot help themselves, and that's every single human that's ever drawn the breath of life. There is nothing that we can do to save ourselves. We cannot help ourselves. We are destitute. We're stranded. There's nothing I can do. God, what can I do? And He says, nothing. I will do it. So He helps those that cannot help themselves. Now, I want to look at a few passages of Scripture this morning that show that we are admonished to strive, to work, to grow, to get stronger. Okay, as we pray, as we read, as we live, we're supposed to grow in the Word. We're supposed to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to look at some verses real quick on that, and then you'll see where I'm going here. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 2. Now I'm going to read these verses and you're going to stop and think, what's this have to do with brethren if a man be overtaken in a fault? Well, you'll see. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So Christians are to desire the Word of God. We are to have a desire to grow on the Word of God, to let God change us, to be stronger Christians, to be who it is He wants us to be. Okay? Now go over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 18, this is what I just quoted. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Now if you'll go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Make sure you're in 1st and not in 2nd. I say that because I do it all the time. I'll tell you go to 1 Corinthians, I look down, get ready to quote, and I realize I'm sitting in 2nd. Do it all the time. It's like I can't read the 1 and the 2. Probably because in my Bible there are Roman numerals and I'm not from Rome, so. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now let me stop for a minute and expound on that. What does that mean, spiritual and carnal? There's two different types of Christians. There are spiritual Christians, there are carnal Christians. The spiritual Christian minds the things of the Spirit, minds the things of God, cares about the things of the Spirit, wants to grow, wants to be who God wants them to be. That's a spiritual Christian. Filled with the Spirit. Remember, the filling of the Spirit is a moment-by-moment event. We're just constantly yielding to the Spirit and obeying the Spirit. Now, the carnal Christian, notice he's a Christian. He's saved. In 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing to a church of Christians, a group of Christians, okay? They are saved. But he says, you're carnal. They're not spiritual. Carnal has to do with the flesh, the things of the world. Okay? It's where we get the word carnival. When you go to a carnival, why is it called a carnival? Because everything there's nothing there of substance. Everything there appeals to your flesh. There are bright lights, loud music, rides, junk food. Everything appeals to your flesh. And none of it lasts. The lights will go out. The music will stop. You'll have fun on the rides, but then the ride will stop and they'll pack up and go to the next town. The food really doesn't last. Good as it is, and as much as we like to eat that stuff, I can't help but think about cotton candy. I mean, you can't get full on cotton candy. All you can do is get sick. I mean, the stuff just disappears when it touches your tongue, right? You just eat it and eat it and eat it. And then you 5 pounds later, your stomach's still empty, but you still seem to get sick. There's no substance there, okay? That's why we call it a carnival, because everything there appeals to the flesh. There's nothing of lasting value. You say, oh, no, I won a prize there and took it home. Yeah, there's nothing of lasting value. It broke on the way home. That's the carnival. So a carnal Christian, he's saved, but what is he concerned with? He's not concerned with the things of the Spirit, the things of God. He's concerned with the things of the flesh. He's still wrapped up in the world. He still likes some of the things of the world and just is concerned with the fleshly things. So two types of Christians, carnal and spiritual. Both saved, both going to heaven. One, a productive witness for Jesus Christ. The other, just wasting time. Because he's wrapped up in the things of the world. And the things of the world, just like a carnival, aren't going to last. It isn't going to matter. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday. we went back to the farm where I grew up. My uncle still owns the family farm, and we go there sometimes and go fishing, you know, and we might stay a couple of days. Well, we went camping there for a couple of days, like Friday and Saturday. And the old farmhouse that my grandparents owned, that all of us kids grew up in, sits on the front side of the property, and my uncle's house that he built is on the back side of the property. And he was talking about how he's going to tear the farmhouse down. And that's a little bit sad, but at the same time, he might as well, because that thing's, you can throw a cat through the walls. It's fallen down. It's bad. That house was built in the 1850s. That's over 160 years old. That thing is just falling down, and nobody has lived in it for years. And so my aunt says, we went walking up there, and she says, if there's anything in there that you want, get it, because she said, people have just been going in stealing stuff anyhow. She said, get what you want. It's all going to come down, okay? So I was thinking about that as I was walking around this house that I grew up in that had, there's a phenomenon over there in that county. All these places that I used to go to and everything have shrunk. So I'm walking through this house that has shrunk, and it takes 5 steps to get through the hall that seemed to take 50 when I was a little kid, you know, and seemed like a mile to the barn, and it's just not very far now. But I'm walking through this house. I mean, it is just falling apart. We're careful where we're walking. And it has somebody, you know, people have just come in there and just junked it and everything. I think my cousins did a lot of that, but there's just junk laying and everything, and we're being real careful, and we're sifting through stuff just looking at junk and everything. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking about how that is exactly how the world is. That house served its purpose. It meant so much to all of us, and now it's decayed. And it's old, and it's fallen down. I'm walking across the property, and I'm thinking about how none of this looks, it's all fallen down. All the buildings are falling down. None of it looks the way it did when I was a kid, because the things here on this earth do not last. So why would we as Christians mind the things of the world? Okay? That's just a side note, since we were talking about carnal and spiritual. That's just a side note. But he says, I could not, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now look, he says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal? And walk as men. He says, I wanted to teach you the rest of the things that you need to learn about Christ. I wanted to give you that spiritual food, nourishment, the better things so that you could grow. But I could not do it because you can't chew it up and swallow it. You can't handle anything more than a bottle of milk. You need this, but you're not ready for this because you refuse to move from this. Milk, the bottle, the formula. Put a little rice in it and it chokes you. You can't handle anything more than just the simple things. And it's because they mind the things of the world and not the Spirit. If we have a desire for the things that are of the Spirit, we will grow some spiritual teeth and we can handle the tougher things, the things that hold more nutrients for us to grow. We can handle that. I told you that we were at the farm. My aunt said, now in the fridge, I've got some ribs that I cooked the other day. She said, I put them in the crock pot. I did all this and everything. She said, if you guys want to try them, they're in there. She said, they're the toughest things we've ever eaten. You can't chew them up and everything. I said, well, it sounds like you made jerky. She said, then the next day she's like, oh, those ribs are in there. And I was like, I just said to her, I said, you just said they're so tough, nobody can eat them. I'm not exactly running to the fridge to fill my plate with them. You just told me that nobody could eat these things. But you take meat and compare it to something like milk. We don't give babies steak and hamburgers and, you know, they have to wait even before we give them hot dogs. That's one of the first meats that you give a, if it's not meat, but it's one of the first meat-like substances that you give a little child because it's soft, right? You have to build up to that. But if you just want to stay where you're at, you'll never get up there. Now, why am I bringing all of this up? What's that have to do with Galatians 6? We read these verses to show that God is very serious about us learning and growing and pushing forward and striving together and maturing and strengthening. God is very serious about this. He is not pleased with Christians that get saved and then say, well, that's, I've learned enough, I'm happy right here. You might be saved going to heaven, but that's not pleasing to God. God's desire for us, his will is that we would get in and that we would dig in. We would get in, we would dig in, we would glean, and we'd grow. And we'd be strengthened. Because the opposite of that is weakness. Weakness. Okay? We need to be strengthened. Now, why do I bring that up? God is very serious about this pressing forward, pressing towards the mark, as Paul said, and keep striving and keep working and keep growing and keep building up those muscles. But in that process, when we fall over, when we're lifting the weights and we drop them on our toes, when we're running the race and we hit the rock and end up with a mouthful of dirt, when we're working and we're striving as God wants us to do and we're pressing forward, we are going to fall down sometimes. We're going to pull a muscle. We're going to get hurt. But when we do, though God is very serious about us pressing on, God's attitude is not towards His people. God's attitude is never keep up or get left behind. Now, you don't want to grow, then you won't grow. But it doesn't change the fact that you're His child and He cares and He loves you. And as soon as you make that decision to grow, He's going to help you do that. You want to stay there in the dirt, stay there in the dirt. But if in the race you fall and you don't want to get up and you want to stay there in the dirt, God isn't going to force you to get up out of the dirt. He wants you to, and He wants to help you up, and He wants to help you push on. If you don't, you know what doesn't change? You're still on the team and you're getting on the bus with the rest of us after the track meet and we're all going home together. Now the problem is we as Christians have a hard time treating people the way the Father treats us. One of our fellow brothers or sisters in this striving, in this working, in this growing, in this learning, somebody will mess up. Do you know Christians mess up? Do you know Christians sin sometimes? God isn't pleased with it. There's no excuse. We don't have to. He gives us a way out. When we do, He wants us to fix it and press forward. We ought to be sinning less and less the longer that we're saved, but we sin. But the problem is sometimes God's people, somebody will take that stumble, they'll fall. And our attitude is the exact opposite of our Father. And we say, hey, guess you're going to miss the bus. What are you going to do, just stay there in the dirt? Thanks a lot for losing the race for us. And sometimes, and some of you know this is true because you were the one in the dirt, and some of you know this is true because maybe you were the one standing by the one in the dirt, but sometimes one of us hits the dirt and another one comes up and kicks more dirt. Steps on the wounded place. Some of you were in the dirt being kicked. Maybe some of you did some of the kicking. Maybe you had an opportunity to help and said, whatever. I knew you couldn't keep up with me. God, we fall, and God is not pleased and does not want us to stay in the dirt and wants us to get up with His help and press forward with His help and do better this time with His help and try harder with His help, but never once does He tell us in His Word, I knew you couldn't do it. I knew you wouldn't be able to do it. You're done. You might as well just stay there. You're all done. On the contrary, what He says is this: I will never what? Leave thee nor forsake thee. So we fall in the dirt and we mess up and we give in to temptation and we sin, and God is not pleased with that. And He wants us to repent of that and get that right with Him and work on that and get that out of our lives and let Him help us fix that and do something about that. But in that process, when we do mess up, He's not kicking dirt in our faces. Look, one thing that will help us as we strive, as we try to live for Him, as we try to be who He wants us to be, one thing is knowing that God is for us. I remember sitting in a church service one time. God was just like 10 rounds with Holyfield. He's working me over. But it was just so good. And you know, where can I crawl under the pew? Just lick my wounds for a while. This hurts so bad. You know, He's just working on you. And I remember the preacher saying this. He said, child of God, do you not, I can still remember where I was sitting. He said, do you not realize that God is for you? He is on your side. He wants you to do His will. And church, He does. God does not look at us, well, give it a try. We'll see how you can do. God is for us. God does want us to be who He wants us to be. He wants us to succeed in that. We're not talking about finances or anything, any of that garbage. We're talking about living the life that He has for us to live. He is on our side. He is for us. He is in our corner. He's not waiting to throw in the towel. He's not waiting to kick us. He's not waiting to throw salt in the wound. He's there with the bandages. He's there. He's there with the strength to help us get back up. He's there with the washcloth to clean us off. He is for us. You look at you and your own children and your grandchildren and nieces and nephews and you say, you know, they might do some horrible things to you and reject you and despise you, and what never changes? That's your child. You love them. And you're not near the parent God the Father is. You're not near the parent to your child that God the Father is to us. And if you wouldn't give up on your children, what makes you think God would give up on you? So yes, work, push, strive, be who He wants you to be. Get in prayer, get in the Word, dig in there, let Him change you. Be obedient, let the Spirit work in your life. Obey the things of the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit moment by moment. But when you stumble, don't let the world, the devil, or the flesh convince you, that's it, you're done. I knew you couldn't do it. You knew you couldn't do it. That's not God talking to you. His Word says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we are to let Him give us the strength to get up and go at it again. Now, if that is how He treats us, and He is our ultimate example, then how do you think you and I are supposed to treat one another whenever we stumble and fall? God's not kicking dirt. What makes you think we have a right to kick dirt? If God's there with the salve and the ointment and the balm, shouldn't we be there for one another in that same way? That's what Galatians 6 is telling us. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Pardon me. Psalm 103, verse 8. I'm going to go quick. If you can get there with me, let's go, but I make no promises to wait on you. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Remember, mercy is withholding what I deserve, and grace is giving me what I don't deserve. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Could we not just quit this morning and go out of here with that? We're not going to. You don't get off that easy, but the Lord is merciful and gracious. Yeah, but I feel so... Well, we're not talking about you. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Yeah, but the people... We're not talking about them. The Lord is merciful and gracious. But you know, I just feel like I've done... Again, we're not talking about you. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Do you know why I'm your pastor this morning? I am your pastor this morning because the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Because I can't tell you the hurdles I tripped over. I can't tell you the things I did, the ways that I messed up, my shortcomings, the roadblocks I made, the big stones I put in my own way. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Most of the hard times that you have, you brought on yourself, didn't you? We do fall victim to unfair treatment in this world, but most of the time it's stuff we do to our own selves. And I made the way so hard on myself and messed up so many times in so many ways and had so many struggles and so much stupidity, I thought I would never get here. because of my own ignorance and stupidity. And I'm your pastor this morning at 36 years of age because the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy, and because he never left me nor forsook me. That's how I got here. And that's why each and every one of you is sitting in Faith Baptist Church this morning, still alive, breath in your lungs, the privilege, the opportunity to come in one more time and worship him with other believers, one more time, hear one more lesson, learn one more thing, because the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Look, we have to see all of that for Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 3, to really hit home. Because God has to be our perfect example in everything. And if he doesn't give up on his people, then his people aren't to give up on each other. And if he doesn't kick us while we're down, then we don't kick each other when we're down. And if he doesn't kick dirt in our faces when we're down, then we don't kick dirt in each other's faces. You know what God could say to us? No, you were not raised that way. You tell your children, uh-uh. Now that is not how we act. You are not raised that way. Church, that is not how we act. We were not raised that way. And I don't know of this even happening in our church. I'm not preaching this because this week I found out one of you kicked dirt. I don't know of anything. This is where we are in Galatians chapter 6, correct? But you know what this is? This will keep us healthy and strong as a church. And come on, if ever there was a time when churches needed to be healthy and strong and biblical, with all the bad witnesses that are out there, this will keep us healthy and strong, treating each other the way God treats us, treating each other the way that we're supposed to. He's our Father. He's our perfect example. The way that he treats us is the way that we ought to treat one another. So here in just the last few minutes, I want to break down this verse so that we can get the best understanding possible on how to deal with one another when somebody trips and falls, when somebody messes up. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. You know what if means? That means it sure can happen. John said, but if ye sin, that means it can happen. If a man be overtaken in a fault, if one of you messes up, if one of you stumbles, if one of you falls, if one of you just really ends up with a mouthful of dirt. Maybe it's more than a mouthful of dirt. Maybe you fell so hard you look like an ostrich. Maybe your head's just completely under the surface, unrecognizable. If ostriches really do that, I have no idea if they really do that. If somebody knows, tell me afterwards. I don't know. I just know that on Looney Tunes they do. I don't know if they really do. But for the sake of illustration this morning, they do. At least the ones on Bugs Bunny. So if, that means it can happen. Now look, it says, if a man be overtaken in a fault. There is a difference between seeing the temptation, having every opportunity to escape and just choosing not to. That's not what he's talking about here. Now sometimes we do that. Sometimes we know and we bring things on ourselves. But this passage specifically this morning is talking about being, when it says overtaken, that means to be surprised. Look, we do. The Bible is full of examples of people who saw it coming and still did the wrong thing. And guess what? God was still full of grace and mercy for them. Jesus told Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter called, don't get upset with me now, Peter basically called God himself a liar. No, he didn't call him a liar. Jesus said, you're going to deny me. Peter said, no, I'm not. He said, you are going to deny me three times. He said, I never would do that. You believe anybody be as self-righteous as Peter? Yeah, you ever met me? You ever met yourself? You ever met any other human being on the face of this earth? He says, you're going to deny me. Peter said, no, I won't. And then Peter didn't even deny him the first time and say, wait, Christ was right. Christ was right. No, he denied him all three times, just like he said he would. He knew it was coming. He knew it was coming. Thought he could handle it. Thought he wasn't going to do it. Did it anyhow. The Bible's full of those examples. And guess what? Go tell his disciples and Peter. You know why? Because he is full of mercy and grace. But this morning in this passage, what we're specifically talking about is the other type of stumbling. Sometimes things just come up on us. It says overtaken, that means surprise. This is when something just kind of, you imagine running a race and you're in the lead and you can see the finish line. You know the other people are back there, but you can't run like this. And the second place runner passes you up. He overtakes you. You don't know he's there until he's on you. Just boom, and he's there. It's a surprise. So somebody is overtaken. Something comes in quickly. Now I want you to notice, God does not excuse us in these matters. God does not say, you know what? You didn't see it coming. It was a surprise. You weren't really sure. You know, that's not what he says here. We're still wrong for giving in to the temptation. Just because you didn't have as much warning as the last time you were tempted, you were still warned, okay? We're not excused. God doesn't say, well, that's okay, that wasn't your fault. No, it's absolutely your fault. So, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, so somebody in the church messes up. Ye which are spiritual. Are you spiritual this morning? Are you carnal or spiritual? To be spiritual means to be what? Filled with the Spirit, moment by moment. Obedient to the Spirit. Minding the things of the Spirit. Here it's talking about the stronger brother. Those of us that have been in the faith longer and have been learning and growing and know the Word a little bit more, God has, you know, some people are stronger than others. Some people have been in the Word and they've been growing longer than somebody that just got saved. Okay, we're all at different levels, right? We should all be moving up to the next level, but we're at different levels because of how long we've been saved and different things. But he's talking here about those spiritual people who are filled with the Spirit. They're in the Word. They know these are the stronger of the brethren. It is their responsibility to restore. It says, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Here's what the word restore means. Here's the definition of the word restore in Galatians 6, 1. To bring to a sense of sin and amendment of life. So to restore is to help somebody understand what they've done wrong and to understand how to fix it. I am so... Let me say it like this. I don't want to sound hateful. I just have no time, and I'm so tired of churches and pastors and Christians who are so good at the reproof stage and are so good at pointing out what is wrong and what someone else has done wrong, and that's biblical. But they never even bother, and they're not even concerned with the instruction in righteousness, the correction and instruction in righteousness. I'm so tired of this arrogant attitude among Christians. They've got no problem telling you where you're wrong, but they have no time to help you get it right. And this verse says, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. To restore means help the person see what they've done wrong and then help them understand how to get it right. It's reproof and it's edification. It's, Sister Penny, here's what the Bible says about this, and here's how you need to get it right. And I want to encourage you to do that. And I want to pray for you. And if there's anything I can do, I'll help you. That's how you restore somebody. It's not, you know it's wrong, right, Phyllis? Yeah, good. Yeah, I knew you knew it was wrong. Hey, Bible says don't do that. It's, here's what the Bible says about what you're doing, what's happened to you, this temptation you've given into. Now here's what the Bible says, how to fix it, how to get it right. Can I help? I'll be praying for you. I'll be checking on you. Come on. Come on, get up. Get up. Now look. We'll talk about this tonight. If you're in the dirt and I'm trying to help you get out of the dirt, and you won't get out of the dirt, you're the one that has to answer for staying in the dirt. But that doesn't release me from my obligation to try to help you get up out of the dirt. But too often, Christians just don't even try to help each other get out of the dirt. Somebody falls in the dirt and we pour a bucket of water and make it mud so that then they get stuck and then they can't get up. And then when they get up, they're even dirtier than they were before. Yeah, gee, thanks. I had that out in the world before I got saved. So, restore. Somebody's overtaken in a fault. Something comes up suddenly. They're surprised. They fall. The other brethren are to come along and say, let me help. Let me help. You know what? That happened to me one time. Let me tell you what I learned from God's word on how to deal with that. Let me help. How do we do it? Look, it says with meekness. It says with meekness. Too often times we want to do it as a drill sergeant. But it says with meekness. Now why with meekness? Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know why we are to help one another and help one another in meekness? Because you're not perfect yet either. And because tomorrow you might be the one occupying that patch of dirt. You might be the one to fall next time. Maybe it'd be a different patch of dirt, but you might be the one overtaken in a fault next time. Considering thyself. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll finish with this. But we'll come back to Galatians 6 right before we finish. But if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. You are not perfect yet. Even if you're more spiritual than the one that fell, you haven't attained yet. You've still got some work to do, and you could be next. So what's all this mean? Well, if you're next, you're going to need somebody to help you, aren't you? You're going to need some help. Have you noticed that as you give in generosity and your time and just loving people and helping people, whenever you are in need, there's no shortage of people somebody's going to remember, hey, they helped me out, right? That's what this is. That's what Galatians, you can go back to Galatians 6 now, it's what it's telling us. Hey, you could be next. You might be tempted. Okay? Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So what that's saying is, hey, remember you're not perfect and you could be tempted that way too. Make sure that you're not tempted that way. And then we finish with this. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Very plainly, what those verses tell us is this. Especially verse number 2. Bear ye one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. I desperately need you. You desperately need me. We desperately need one another. There's no shortage of hate outside of those doors for Christians. That place out there is not open arm Christian friendly. This place is. And there's a battle. And the enemy is the enemy's everywhere. We need one another in this battle. We need one another in this fight. We need one another whenever we mess up. We need a place where we can go whenever we mess up and get the help that we need. And those that are spiritual, those that have been in the Word longer and God has helped them to grow more, need to be the ones to turn around. We look around. Hey, where's Joe? Where's Joe? He was here a second ago. We lost him over that last hill. Look, the military, they don't leave their wounded behind, do they? They take an oath to look out for each other. They don't leave each other behind. Are we not an army? Are we not in a battle? Church, we've got to quit leaving people behind. We've got to quit leaving people in the dirt. Come on. Pick each other up. Help each other out. Nobody else is going to do it. We need one another. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. I pray as we sing this hymn of invitation that you would deal with us however you need to. Maybe we all need to be dealt with in the same way. Maybe we all need to be dealt with differently. This morning, I thank you for reminding us that you never leave us or forsake us. This morning, I thank you for reminding us that we need to look after one another and help one another and be there for one another. Show us whatever areas we need to deal with. Work on us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.